Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the Gen X pop culture podcast that covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, podcasts, as long as we like them. I am your host, Colored Pencils, I left that out, Tim Andrews, a regionally semi-famous Atlanta radio personality, and these are my co-hosts, Jeff Lieboff and Stephanie Swain. Ira Malkin will be joining us shortly. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Howdy do.
Boy, we had some great guests last week, didn't we?
Yeah, that was a fun show. We had like a good time just hanging out.
Yeah, we did. I really had a lot of fun talking to those guys, and I enjoyed their podcast. So,
hi.
Hey, Ira.
Look at you. Great outdoors.
Let me change my name here. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Is that a sex swing behind you, Ira?
Yes.
New sex swing?
I'm selling these now. Anybody need these for special time home alone?
Are those Radio Labyrinth sex wings?
Yeah, you can get them on Teespring.
Branded. I've sprayed them down with sanitizer. Don't worry.
Where's Katie?
Who?
Never mind. Jeff likes. I don't know who she is.
Who is she?
I don't know. Her name's Katie. Jeff likes her for some reason.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know where we're going. Hey, this is season 5, episode 34. Guys, check out our YouTube page. Follow us on Twitter, which is @radio_labyrinth. Surprisingly, our YouTube page is called Radio Labyrinth, and it is produced by Dustin Lawler, who is doing a kick-ass job. Wouldn't you guys agree?
That's an understatement.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a real... That was comments that we got this week from people that listen. It looks like a real show now. I think Emily Hine Warren said it's like a, you know, you can actually watch this piece of shit now.
Oh, nice stuff. Thank you.
There you go. So we got 3 people now watching on YouTube. I love it. We'll get a new one every month. Now, if you guys like it on YouTube, please share it with your friends and like it, of course, and subscribe. I don't know. What do you say? Please like this video and subscribe to our page and turn on your notifications. What happened? And we are also on Facebook. Dustin Lawler runs the Radio Shack. We also have our own page. We have Instagram. To sign up for Patreon, visit patreon.com/TimAndrews. And of course, we have a website, radiolabyrinthpodcast.com. So what's going on?
What's going on with you? Hey.
Baby, you look good tonight. Oh, damn it. Dolly Parton don't look so hot.
Hey, Tim, do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound really good, man.
All right, just wanted to make sure I didn't need to adjust things.
You got a little bass in your voice there, man.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a little tremolo when I talk.
So what's his name?
Stuart Baker is his
name. What happened? What's the deal?
Unknown Henson. Jeff, you want to tell us exactly what happened?
He just went off in a rant on Facebook.
Yeah.
About Dolly Parton, when Dolly Parton came out in support of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, if you're not a familiar with Stuart Baker, the real name, he's Unknown Henson, the erstwhile, is that the correct term? I don't know. I just throw words out there.
Erstwhile. Yeah, that's a good one.
He did the voice of early Kyler on Squidbillies, which is one of my favorite shows, one of all of our favorite shows, I guess. Jeff, Steph, I know you guys like it. Do you like it, Ira?
No, I don't watch it. I mean, not that I have anything against it. I just, it's one of those shows I don't watch.
Right. I've been on it a couple times, done a couple of different voices. So we've had Dave and Jim on and Casper Kelly. We've had them all on. But Stuart, the other night, I guess he got fucked up somehow. Dolly Parton came out in support of Black Lives Matter on social media. Like, ooh, that's a shock that somebody would come out and support that. And
somebody that owns a theme park.
Yeah. She has lots of fans from all walks of life, so it doesn't matter. But he gets on Facebook and starts talking about race trader and calling her big boobed, whatever. I'm not going to repeat it. Southern bimbo, called her a slut, and basically said she was a race trader. And obviously they had to let him go. And I mean, there's really – no, that's indefensible. Indefensible. You can't go, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean any of that." Well, obviously you meant it a little, don't you think? I mean,
it is Unknown Henson. He does do a shtick. You know, yeah. But you can't even do shticks like that anymore.
But that's not thick. I mean, he's running for mayor of some town, right? Albemarle or one of those towns.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he's running for something. What?
He's running for something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll even get it now.
Yeah. Well, now he's running from something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what he's running for. I'm Googling.
Well, I mean, I've seen him play several times. It's been years. It's been like 20 years.
He toured for a long time with, God, who'd he tour with? He toured with, what's his face from Sling Blade? He toured with him.
Billy Bob.
Yeah, he toured Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah, they went around the country. And I saw him appear on some interview show. It just happened to be one where Billy Bob got mad because the guy interviewing him was asking him about movies. Well, I'm here to talk about music. All right, you're a fucking actor, douchebag. Anyway.
I know. I hate when they do that shit.
But it was the first time I ever saw him without the fangs and the sideburns. He was just a regular. So what was he? Was he a good guitar player?
No, I mean, it was a shtick. He put on a show. It was fun to go see Unknown Henson, but he would do crazy shit on stage. And, you know, kind of like some of those artists that like to piss off their audiences to get a reaction out of them.
Yeah.
He would do that type of shit. So doing something like this isn't totally out of the norm for him. If he's doing his Unknown Henson character, if he's doing his Stuart Baker thing where he's his real guy, then it's fucked up either way. It's bad either way. But
He's so perfect. That character of him is so perfect as early Kyler that it's hard for me to think of anybody else doing the voice. It's almost like they got a Bobby Ewing him, you know?
There's precedent, though. The Affleck duck, they just fire the guy that originated the voice. And then
That's one word. Affleck.
But you act like there's not like an entire cast of characters that aren't pretty entertaining in their own right.
Well, they are, but he's the lead character.
He is the lead character, but I mean, I don't know, Tim. I mean, what are they supposed to do?
Well, I'm not saying they shouldn't have fired him. It's going to be tough for them to come up with the solution, don't you think?
I mean, I think it is, but I also think it's whatever, you know, we all get irritated when people get canceled for whatever reason.
I'm not irritated about this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of celebrities, man, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
I know.
Like you said, Tim, he probably was all fucked up. Not that it's an excuse. I'm just saying, I don't think it would have come out if he wasn't. He's probably a guy that has blackouts, you know?
Yeah, maybe. But if he wasn't fucked up, then there's something seriously wrong with him. Because
if he was fucked up, you tend to say what you really think when you're blessed.
That is true.
So either way, it's what he really felt. And he called Dolly, the queen of awards, a slut.
You can't go after Dolly Parton.
Go after fucking Dolly. I don't care what you think of any political movements. You don't go after fucking Dolly, man. You don't. Right. You don't do it.
And Dolly, by the way, Dolly Parton can take it. She can take it. And she's been putting up with it. I mean, shit, she got, mid-60s? That's when people started noticing who she was. She was with Porter Wagoner. She was his sidekick. I mean, you know, looking like she does and as pretty as she is. But back then, getting into country music for a woman back then, it must have been super tough. Because, I mean, it's good old boy stuff. I mean, anything in the music industry back then. But she's probably has a lot of scars, you know. And I don't know how you can't respect Dolly Parton. You know,
she has cabinets full of spam. As rich as she is, that's her favorite food.
Good. Good for her.
Yeah, that was just some racist ranting shit straight up, man. That you can't do that. You don't do that. You know,
I'm glad they didn't cancel the show over it.
Yeah, me too. It's because it's a great show. Those guys are the best writers out there as far as I'm concerned. And it's some of the funniest shit. I mean, I never watched that show, even in repeated viewings, without cracking up. Same with Aqua Teen. Those guys are so fucking talented. And I just want them to keep, you know, being successful. So.
Yeah, I mean, those guys were smart. They got out ahead of it super quick when this happened, and that's what you got to do. Be like, we fired the guy. We don't, you know, stand behind that guy is gone. You know, so leave him alone.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we certainly wish him luck, and if they need somebody,
do we wish him luck?
I wish those guys luck.
Those guys. I thought you meant Stuart.
Not unhinged Henson.
Yeah, unhinged Henson.
Yeah,
that's what we're gonna call the show.
I'll tell you what, those concerts, I will say briefly that back in the day, he would play at Smith's, he would play at Star Bar, and it was a scene, man. I mean, everybody was out there, and the places were packed, and it would just be one of those crazy nights at one of those two venues, you know, whenever he played. So it was cool.
We had him on the regular guys one time, and I didn't know that he didn't break character. So he was unknown Henson the whole way.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't Stuart Baker. He would, now, you know, the whole thing, party liquor. And I don't think they got it.
Yeah.
Right away. They were like, oh, this guy's not acting normal.
Right. Yeah. He's like a Southern redneck Andy Kaufman or something.
Yeah. Party liquor. Like any liquor could be party liquor, right? It was uncomfortable. But, you know, even if a guest was really, I don't know, slow. That's one thing that both Larry and Eric were really good at doing, was even if the guests didn't have a lot of energy, they would find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
And a lot of radio hosts can't do that. I was just listening to an old interview, because I go in these Norm Macdonald rabbit holes on YouTube, and he was on KGO in San Francisco. And the guys were he talks like this, and he's out of the morning. Hey, Norm, I'm going to need you.
KGO.
Hey, come on, Norm. So you got fired for Saturday Night Live. Yeah, 20 years ago. All right, are you high, man? Are you asleep? I'm going to have to ask you to leave. It was the worst.
I hate those guys.
Yeah. Hey, you can't be funnier than me, and I don't get you. Well, come on. We got to get rid of that. Fuck you. I hate that kind of shit.
They're just nerds, those guys. You know, they don't get it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you. I don't care what city you're in, unless you are nationally syndicated, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There are people who can interview and there are people who can't interview. And if you get impatient and you don't know your guest, why even have them on? You know, I'm going to have them.
Not even that. They're just dorks that they think they're on the comedic level as some of those guys.
Right.
So they're trying to riff with them. But when you have a guy like Norm Macdonald, who's way up here,
yeah,
with comedic talent, and you have another guy trying to riff with them, it's just, that's never going to work.
And when you got Norm on, you got to let it go. Let him get to where he's going someplace.
They wouldn't even
You just have to wait. So anyway, to those guys at Adult Swim, to Jim and Dave and Casper, man, I hope they find something, man. Because I love that show, and those are good dudes. So
yeah, that show's been on for how long now?
15 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all right. Look, it's good that it's still going, but those guys are creative as hell. They could. They always have new ideas, you know.
It's a super popular show.
I know, but yeah. Just do something else. Those fans will follow it, whatever they do.
Yep. You know? Yeah, they will. We will, won't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll not watch the next show that they do.
And in the meantime, for shits and giggles, I'll practice the voice, and if they ask, I'll give it a shot. How about
exactly,
that?
Exactly.
They should do a new show based around all of your voices.
Nah,
and won't. Just hire you to do everything.
Nobody wants that.
Come on, let's put that out there, Tim.
Nobody wants that. See?
I'm doing this for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, you know who does things for us? Our advertisers. I would like to say thank you to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, who are still open for dine-in services. And do they still wipe down the tables in between, or do they just leave the crumbs on?
Maybe Mike wipes them down.
Okay.
Yeah, they're wiping down everything.
Yes. They are still providing takeout and curbside. Oh, by the way, it's in Conyers. They are providing takeout and curbside service for those who prefer it. And you don't have to pay ahead of time. So just go to their website, AtlantaPizzaEuro.com, order your food, and then go pick it up. And remember, they want to thank everybody who supported them. Jesus, are we going to be saying this for the next 6 months through these tough times? How long is it going to last? And for the restaurant industry and everybody, really, if you've been to AP&G, Atlanta Pizza and Euro, please leave a review on Google that lets people know that you are satisfied. And if people haven't ever been there and they Google it and they go, oh yeah, this guy liked it. So, and also let's not forget our friend Brett Perkins and his business LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Oh, Jeff, I thought you were going to do Slim Mackerel there.
.com.
I still need to send him your address, so make sure you text it to me when we're done.
Who, Slim Mackerel?
No, not Slim Mackerel.
Oh.
Brett.
All right. Well, you should send the message to Slim.
I don't know. Do they know each other, Slim Mackerel?
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't know. They know each other. So what's going on? All sorts of shit in the news. Jeff's still buzzing from this stuff. You want to take over?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I'm surprised Jeff hasn't passed out yet. He's been awake for like 48 hours straight since he's been eating this Dunkin' Donuts mocha latte cereal.
Oh, my God.
What's
granted, I had two bowls of it, and they were big bowls, like not recommended serving size bowls. Two bowls at like maybe 10 o'clock Saturday morning. No sleep at all on Saturday. I'm laying in bed 5 a.m. Sunday morning, and I've just listened to 3 2-hour-long episodes of Fake Doctors, Real Friends, the Scrubs podcast.
Oh, man.
And that didn't put you to sleep?
No, it did not put me to sleep.
You didn't invite me over for all this, Jeff? Thanks. Appreciate that.
I got to have some of this damn Dunkin' Donuts crack cereal.
It says nothing about caffeine on the box. But online it says it's got 1/10 of 1 cup of coffee caffeine in it. That can't be true.
No way.
Because I drink like a big cup of coffee every day.
Yeah.
That's probably like 4 cups of coffee. Right. That's iced.
Maybe your body processes it differently if you're eating it. Kind of like weed. You know what I mean? Maybe. So if you're drinking the coffee, it might be different than if you're like eating caffeine infused cereal.
So wait, but the cereal has caffeine, like coffee caffeine in it, or is it just like super sugared?
I think that there's probably sugar and caffeine. Yeah.
Oh Jesus! What are we doing to ourselves here?
Imagine giving that to a kid. What stuff?
I know.
And people are gonna buy it for their kids. You know. I mean, so
if my kids saw that box, they'd be like, "When are we getting that?"
You should put Xanax in it for kids.
Oh yeah, now you're talking.
Yeah, Xanax or not Adderall. Maybe a Zanny Adderall mixture.
Yeah, I need that.
So they're alert yet calm.
I got flies at her. I'm in a screened-in Porsche. I got flies. That's not supposed to happen.
Got flies. I do not got flies. What is that? Raising Arizona. Got flies.
Well, we're glad you survived, Jeff. I'm hoping that you'll get some rest finally tonight. So
when did they put this poisonous shit out?
It's out right now.
Yeah, it just came out, and I got a box of each kind at Publix.
Let me see the box again. Hold that up again. I want to see that thing.
So you'll know not what to get the girls?
Exactly, yes. We got Lucky Charms in that freaks me out.
Which one tastes better, Jeff? The mocha latte or the caramel macchiato? You're
disappearing. The boxes are disappearing into your shining room. That's not working.
Got to shine.
Oh, that looks like, caramel macchiato. Holy shit.
Is that going to be the last time you
mocha latte?
Are you going to eat it at night anymore or just for breakfast?
I literally didn't eat it at night. And on Sunday, maybe about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I usually try to take a nap on Sundays. I couldn't take a nap. I tried like 3 different times on Sunday to take a nap, nothing. So maybe like 6 o'clock Sunday night, I'm like, I'm going to smoke some weed. That'll help. Nope.
And no.
2:25 a.m. Sunday, I finally fell asleep.
Wow. Dunkin' Donut cereal is people. It's people.
It's a hell of a commercial for them.
That's what happened to him. They cut up Mr. Coffee.
Like this drug addict. He couldn't even go to sleep after smoking weed.
Oh shit.
Well, Ira, I wanted to ask you, do you think you'll be heading out to the AMC theaters on August 20th with the kids because they're reopening finally?
Not us, but a lot of friends probably will.
So they're going to go for this 15-cent ticket?
Yeah, you know what? I read about that. And what are they showing?
It's old movies, mostly. You know, there's nothing, anything new.
But there's some 80s stuff, right? Like some good shit.
Yeah. But they're
Empire Strikes Back and shit.
Right.
And these are... Yeah, it's Black Panther, Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, Grease for you guys, Star Wars episode something, and and The Empire Strikes Back, So
for 15 cents, you can sit in a crowded theater and have anxiety over whether or not you're catching COVID-19.
Now, they say they're taking precautions, so I'm assuming that they're social distancing people out and only allowing so many in and all that jazz. And I mean, what do you want, Tim? They're giving you pandemic prices. These are the same prices they had in 1920 during the first pandemic.
It's pandemic prices.
The popcorn, but they better pay you to take the popcorn.
They're going to give you $5 bundles.
Nice.
Candies and whatnot. So, I mean, they're
you want COVID butter on this?
Yeah, please.
I don't know. What do you think the snacks were in 1920? What did you get at the theater then?
Popcorn. 5 cents would get you a malted ball.
One giant malted ball that you would gnaw until the end of the film.
For 5 cents, you'd get like a steak and a cup of coffee.
It's like a strip club.
Well, you would get like an egg cream from the soda jerk.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I got soda egg. Jerk.
Let me jerk this out for you.
Yeah, Jeff knows about that.
I don't have you.
Go ahead.
They had popcorn, and you weren't allowed to bring anything in. I'm looking at it right now. They had Baby Ruth bars, candy, popcorn, all that shit.
Was the popcorn served you by like a little organ grinder monkey?
No, I hope not. They didn't have shit on it. They had Goobers, Milk Duds, Raisinets, and something called Bob White. Non-peril that was eventually broken up into snow caps.
Ugh, God, they're so gross.
Did he like play for the Falcons in the 90s?
Yeah, Bob White. I love snow caps. Bob White played for the
Falcons. I have some Bob Whites.
Yes.
Now, to answer your question, normally I'd be all over that with the kids and everything, but... We're not ready yet. We're not doing inside stuff yet.
I'm not ready for that either.
No.
Well, understandable. If we were ready and we did live in Japan, what would be so kick-ass is if we could go to this new Godzilla museum. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh.
But I'd be way into that.
Yeah. And well, not only that, it's like a whole immersive experience where you get to act like you're a scientist. And you're in the Godzilla Interception Operation, National Godzilla Awajishima Research Center. And so basically, your whole goal is to placate Godzilla, to calm him down so he doesn't set us all ablaze.
Oh, fuck that. I want to stomp on buildings.
No, but what you can do is they're going to have a 400-foot Godzilla statue, and you can zip line into his mouth.
Well, that'll be fun. As soon as somebody hits a tooth and
you could get crushed and eaten by Godzilla. Yay! How much is that?
At least you're on the mouth team. You're not on the Godzilla, give Godzilla hand job team.
Oh, they have that.
That's how you placate him, Jeff, by jerking him off.
Now, when they open Godzilla Museum Thailand, that's what they're going to offer there.
Well, that would be his little kid. So once you go into his mouth, you zip line his mouth, you go down like a chute down right through his anus and then pop out into the ground.
I don't know if they've worked out the back end of it yet. I think you just shoot in. I don't know where you go after that point, but that's a pretty good idea.
That is a cool thing. At least does Disney own it. It's nice to have something that's not Disney.
I don't think Disney does own it.
Who owns Godzilla?
Awajishima.
But they're going to have Godzilla-themed treats, too, you know, because you can get food there. And so you can get a sea creature-themed hot dog and desserts with eyes and rice dishes with prehistoric paw prints.
Nice.
Maybe you could eat Jeff Bridges.
I think it would be...
Let's take the kids and go to Godzilla Land.
I think it would be kick-ass. How about Jim Belushi? He's growing weed. Did you guys know this? He's a weed farmer now.
I see that he has a show, actually.
Yeah, it's a reality show that basically centers around him getting this big weed farm going. It's got a hell of an operation, too.
Doesn't Roseanne do that?
I don't know.
Or was she just growing out of
pineapple?
Oh, it's pineapple. You're right. Sorry. Weed, pineapple. I got confused.
She may invest in a weed farm. I haven't heard much from her lately, but I think you're right, Irish. She might have some money into a weed farm. But
so where's Jim's farm?
It's in Southern Oregon.
Yeah.
Well, there you
Sounds
go.
Sounds nice. Are they hiring?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
I'm moving there right now.
It starts on Wednesday on Discovery Channel.
Can we get Beth Van Elswick to go over there and visit for us? She's not far from there.
Really?
Oh, she's not. We should see if he'd come on. I know he's super famous, but we should see if he'd come on if you guys know how to reach out to him.
Oh, sure, that's what I'm saying.
Beth's she's the hemp connection.
Oh, hell yeah.
Why don't we go through Beth?
I don't know. He probably has a publicist. That might be.
Anyway, so I'm going to check that out. It premieres Wednesday, August 19th at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that too.
Old Crazy Jim.
I don't know if they still do, but I remember when he was first on Saturday Night Live, be like, oh, he ain't his brother. Well, he's not. He's not his brother. Jim. He's not John Belushi. First of all, he didn't OD on heroin and cocaine mixture. Second of all, he did all the work it took to get on the show. I'm sure name recognition came into play, but he had a successful sitcom that also with Courtney Thorne Smith, right? And Courtney with Jim. That ran for what, 5-6 years maybe?
Oh, longer than that.
Yeah, yeah. So good for him. Fuck the haters. Good for
him. He's one of the greatest buddy comedies of all time, a film called Red Heat.
Oh, hell yeah. Which Jeff and I saw in the theater, surprisingly, in the 80s.
But I mean, when you're growing weed in Oregon, I mean, nowadays, and it's all legal, obviously, out there, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's almost like you're just, it's like you're making soap now and just trying to pitch it on Shark Tank or something. You're just trying to grow your own brand.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not like it's illegal and it's a big deal anymore like that, which is weird. You know, it's great, but it's weird.
Right. I hope he has integrity, though.
Yeah. He is trying to grow the strain. I forget what it's called, but it was termed the smell of Saturday Night Live in the 70s.
Oh,
yeah.
If you went to the studios in the 70s,
I like that.
That's what it smelled like.
So old 70s shit, Afghan.
Yeah, I don't know what strain it is. I'm curious to watch the show to find out if he talks about that.
This smells like Billy Crystal's hair.
Yeah. If you're ever interested in something like this, you should do a comparison. You can find websites that show you what buds look like in the 70s and 80s as compared to what they look like now, and it's vastly different. You know, because now they've hybrided. There's so much hybridization that you can just grow anything. And
right, but I'm sure those guys were making bank back in the 70s, though, and they were getting like the best weed you could possibly get.
Yep, Colombian gold.
Yeah.
The Panama Red. Well, I'm gonna wrap it up there, guys, because Ira, you got a game for us, right?
Well, yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So we can get everything in.
Wait a minute.
Tim had something he wanted to.
We're gonna bookend this with. We started off with Jeff's cereal. Now we need to find out about this Krispy Kreme that's causing Steph life conniption fits.
So they opened a Krispy Kreme on the corner of my house. I don't even have to.
The corner of your house?
It's in your house.
Wonderful in there, 24/7.
I do not even have to go on a main road. Like, I can go through the Lowe's parking lot.
Yeah.
In my pajamas, right? There's nobody to see me.
Right.
And this has been the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I honestly, guys, I don't know what's happening. Like, last night, you know, Tim, and we'll talk about this more later. I'm so into The Americans now.
You love it, right?
Sickness. I'm sick.
What? How far in are you?
I'm in season two. I'm like the third or fourth episode in season two. I'm obsessed. I wish I could have just quit my job and just stay home and finish it.
Now, I almost noped out the first season because it's supposed to be in 1983, right? Or 84 is when it started.
81 is in the first season.
81.
82 is the second season.
All right. 81 is the first season. So the son has baseball cards on his bed.
Oh, my God.
Listen, they're 1986 tops. So the prop person for that show can go eat.
You're going to nope a show for the props guy?
No, terrible. How do I was guy, Ira. Could have been they, them. Anyway, sorry, Steph. That's just a little bit, but it's a great
cancel. They're not really Americans.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, anyway, I had Krispy Kreme for dinner.
Yeah.
Friday night.
For dinner.
That's what I had for dinner. I went through there.
A side of Boston cream. Yeah.
I like these. The original, it's the original circle, right one, you know, with the hole in the middle. But
yeah.
They're filled. Those are the ones that I am crazy about.
Out of the oven?
I mean, those ones you don't really want out of the oven because there's cream in the middle and it would be all melty and seep out.
That's, why don't you make it a treat? Like the end of the week, Friday.
Shut up, Ira. I don't need your fucking pep talk, okay?
It's not a pep talk.
About that. It's about filling the void that this pandemic has caused inside of me with donuts, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Mountain biking.
Keep it to one dozen a day, though, please.
Yeah, that'll help.
Well, let's see. I put away, I want to say, it was a lot yesterday. It was a lot.
In one day, what is the most, everybody, I'm going to ask everybody, in one day, what is the largest number of Krispy Kremes you've eaten in either one sitting or one full day?
Half a dozen.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say about the same. Maybe six.
Okay.
Yes, I had six. I had six between the hours of 8:30 and 9:45.
Oh, shit.
Holy fuck. I've eaten eight or nine. We used to get them at 96 Rock once a week. They'd bring in fresh ones.
Yeah, that's the problem.
This is work. Years ago. I mean, we occasionally would get him at the other place, the newer place, but this is back in the 2000s, early 2000s. And there were stacks of them. And back then, I didn't give a shit. I'm like, I'm going to eat, free. And I jammed them all in there. Well, shit, one day I ate almost 30 crystals.
Oh, my God. Shit. You must have crap for 7 days in a row.
I pretty much, I think it stopped up for a while.
Yeah, that might have adverse effects.
Yeah.
I'm back there's on track a, today. I'm back on track today. I'm not.
I get it with the Krispy Kreme because I used to have to go to this Ace Hardware from work, and I'd have to go back and forth there a few times a week. And there's a Krispy Kreme right next to the Ace Hardware.
No.
And I had an association. I could not go and get screws or whatever the hell I needed and not get a cream filled donut.
Oh, yeah.
Just couldn't do it.
They're light. You know, they're not like a.
It's just sugar. That's all it is.
And then I was all just jacked up, and I'm watching the Americans with this. Here's the thing, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. This is one of the fattest moments of my life. This last night, I leaned over the kitchen sink, and I thought there was a silkworm, like, coming down from the ceiling beside of me, and it was a piece of Krispy Kreme glaze stuck in my hair, and it was dangling.
You got a facial from the donut.
It was dangling from my hair into the sink. And I thought it was like a worm falling from the ceiling.
Krispy Kreme, something about Mary moment.
And I was mad because it didn't make it into my mouth. I lost it in the sink. It went down the sink. So,
holy shit.
Anyway.
I haven't had a donut, and I can't tell you how long. I'm very much jonesing for a donut. In fact, tonight I had a veal burger and mashed cauliflower.
That sounds like something I would
do
eat.
Like mashed cauliflower. It's really good.
It is. But I bought this one at Trader Joe's. It was so runny.
Mm.
It's like, I don't want it to be runny. It was like vichyssoise or some soup.
Sometimes you got to microwave it extra and get like that burnt texture that you would get from when you put the old TV dinner in the oven when you were a kid. Getting those crispies like around the edge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what you just did? You gave me a flashback to like those cherries that were in the cobbler or whatever, and they'd be all
I
love those.
It tasted like the foil.
What about the apple pie?
Apple pie was good. We were poor. We had a lot of Swansons.
Oh, we did too. Yeah. But, you know, the mashed potato square was always my favorite.
Yeah. It was the,
The meatloaf. Oh, God. Why? Salisbury steak.
Warming.
All right, Ira, you got a game for us. What's the game called?
You want to play a game or what?
I want to play a game. Not or what. I want to play a game.
This is about cars. Anybody want to talk about cars?
You see what I have behind me? The 1989 Dakota Shelby. Only, I think, 1,300 and some were made.
Is that a Ford vehicle?
No, it's a Dodge.
Oh.
Dodge Dakota. Wait, I had a Dakota, but I didn't have one of those things.
Well, I had a Dakota, then I got shot.
This was, you know, obviously Shelby got together with Dodge and they put this bad boy out, and it was a pretty fast little pickup truck for the time. Yeah, this was, you know, the height of luxury for the West Virginia teen, and that's where I was living when this truck came out.
I don't know. Steph might have an edge on all of us for this one. We'll see.
We will see.
Side note real quick, did you watch that Shelby American documentary on Netflix?
No, not yet.
It might still be on there, but that they discuss all that and the relationship with Lee Iacocca at the end and all that stuff. But anyway, that was good.
So explain the game.
This game is called Fictional Whips. And Fictional Whips. Do you like that? You know, I try to come up with something that sounds good. And
I like the name.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I'll give you the year, make, model, and color of an iconic vehicle from movies or TV.
Ooh.
You tell me what movie or TV show this vehicle was featured in.
Awesome. Then do we have to say our name or just shout it out?
Yeah, well, what do we usually
do?
We're
on video. Shout it up. Put your fucking hand up. There you go.
Let's do that. Oh, okay, repeat the rules one more time.
It's very simple. I'm just going to give you year, make, model, and color of an iconic vehicle from either film or TV. And I might give you I have some other hints mixed in. And you just have to raise your hand and give me what show or movie that vehicle is known for.
All right.
So you're going to give me the show or the movie. Number one. Some of these will be easy. Some will be kind of tough. I eliminated some of the super obvious ones. Okay. But
Batmobile.
Number one. 1958 Plymouth Fury in red, used in a TV or movie from 1983. Jeff, I saw Jeff first. What is it?
Christine.
It's Christine. You got it.
See, quit yelling out, Tim.
I know.
I put these little hints in. My hint for this was, if the lead actor had kept it, he could have driven it around campus a few years later in Back to School. Christine, 1983. All right, number two. I like this one. 2004 Pontiac Aztec in light green. Steph.
Freaking Bad.
You got it.
Oh.
I wrote, used to deliver pizzas on a roof. Onto a roof.
Let me in, bitch.
Number three. 1961 Ferrari 250 GT in red. 1961.
Tim.
Tim.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You got it.
Yeah.
I wrote, when driven backward, the miles on the car will decrease.
It's good suspension after it falls out of the window.
What do you love? You love a car. What'd you do? What did I do? You killed the car.
You killed your car.
All right. Number four. 1982 Pontiac Trans Am in black.
Tim.
Steph.
Smoking the Bandit.
Nope. I'm throwing you off on this one. Tim.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. Very good.
Ah, damn it.
82, Steph.
Damn it. Of course.
I wrote heavily modified. And my hint was, a hamburger could have easily been eaten off the floor of this car. All right. Number five.
That's a good clue, but it's fucking 15 years ago. So that's a great clue.
1979 Ford LTD Country Squire in pea green and wood paneling. Steph, I saw you first.
Mad Men?
No. Tim.
Vacation.
Vacation. Very good. I wrote, a dead person could breathe on you in this car. That's from 1983. All right, number six. 1974 Dodge Monaco in black and white from TV or a movie from 1980. Tim.
Blues Brothers.
You got it.
Damn, Tim. The Bluesmobile. You're crushing this shit.
Yeah, the new Bluesmobile. Come on, Steph.
I know. I'm sorry.
That may have been my favorite, that one. I wrote, steering wheel can be used for writing checks to club owners for beer consumption. All right, number seven.
The original voice of the sheriff in Squidbillies is in the Blues Brothers.
Who?
The band, or the guy who owns the bar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy.
Yeah, he did the first season of Squidbillies. He did the voice of the sheriff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in some other stuff.
He was the one who got filleted in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh. Yeah. What kind of music do you have here, man? Oh, we got both kinds, country and western.
Western.
Mind the drawings, please.
This may be tricky. Number seven, 1976 AMC Pacer in baby blue. Steph.
Wayne's World.
Very good.
Oh, nice job.
I said it's compact, but wide enough to accommodate all of your friends inside of it to loudly sing Queen songs all together. number eight, 1973 Ford Falcon GT in black. This is, could be a tough one. From TV or a movie in 1981. Anybody?
81.
Tim? 81. 1973 Ford Falcon. You ready for the hint?
Yeah.
Supercharged for quickly shuttling Holocaust deniers across the Australian wasteland. Steph.
It was Road Warrior.
It was Road Warrior. Come on, Tim.
Schindler's Briss. So the score at this point of the game is Tim 4, Jeff 1, Steph 3.
All right, good. That was 1981. All right. I like this. Are you liking this? I can keep going.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Number nine. This is going to be tricky, too. 1983 Porsche 928 in silver from T. Yes, Steph.
Risky Business.
Very good.
God damn.
Love that car.
I wrote, it's too bad your fake girlfriend would rather do it with you on a real train.
Who's the U-boat, Commander?
I also wrote, good for outrunning killer pimps.
Yeah. There is no substitute.
That's right.
If you recall.
Yeah. Number 10, 1959 Cadillac Miller Meteor. Do you know what that is?
God, no.
All right, I'll give you a good hint. It's an ambulance in white and red. Steph.
Ghostbusters.
Very good.
Oh, all right. Steph takes the lead.
Okay. Ghostbusters was 84. That's right. I'm trying to get the years in here. I know it's a lot of 80s. I'm sorry, but we could do a part two of this because there's so many iconic cars out there. You realize?
Sure.
You know?
I would love to do part two.
I had so many that I was like, it's too much. All right. This is going to be tricky. 1985 Toyota 4x4 extra cab pickup. Steph.
Back to the Future.
Very good.
Oh, my God.
I thought that would trip you up a little bit.
I love that truck. I wanted that truck. Yeah. I was right there with Marty.
Yeah. See, I couldn't use DeLorean because that would just be stupid. Everybody would get it right away. I wrote, would have been nice to have your dad's would have been nice to have when your dad's boss wrecks the family car before you borrow it to take your girlfriend camping for the weekend. All right, number 12. This is a I'm going to like this. This is a 1980 GMC K25 Wildside in brown and tan. GMC truck. From TV or movie from 1981.
God dang.
In brown and tan. So it's like a GMC, like just rugged Silverado looking like pickup truck.
Brown and tan.
Come on. From
1981.
All right. The hint is, Tim, you got it?
First Blood?
Nope. Certainly not what a $6 million man would drive. Tim.
The Fall Guy.
Very good.
Damn it. I'm so mad.
Oh, that was a guess.
I loved that.
Good clue.
I also wrote, would even impress Heather Thomas. All right, number 13. 1967 Chevy Camaro SS in black. From TV or a movie? Tim.
Bullet.
Nope. TV or movie? Steph.
They're Off Dead.
Very good.
Oh. Late Maya, A Study in Moppishness.
That was my hint, actually, which I probably shouldn't even bring up.
Why?
Because I wrote, best used to race stereotypical Asian men in the 80s.
Sound like Howard Cosell.
Who do Howard Cosell impressions. I also wrote, this car can only be brought back to life with the help of a French-speaking female foreign exchange student.
A car is not a toy lane. We must observe the proper speed limit.
Lane, I've been going to this school for 8 years. I'm no dummy. Number 14, 1950 Mercury Monterey in black. From TV or a movie from 1986. This is a tough one. 50 Mercury. You know, one of those cool chopped, like the Panama car from,
Cobra. Cobra.
Very good.
God.
Cobra's car.
Steph's going to win.
He actually they used a kit car because he has that real car in real life.
That's right. I read that movie. when I was researching this. That's awesome. He bought it from an auction, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I wrote, if you're the disease, this car may be the cure. All right. This is the last one. Number 15.
All right. Well, Steph won, but okay.
That's fine. Still got to do this one. This one you'll like. Number 15, there's no year. It's just called the Canyonero. Tim.
The Simpsons.
Very good.
Canyonero.
My hint was, can you name the truck with four-wheel drive? Smells like a steak and seats 35. Canyonero.
You know who sang that?
Who?
Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, that's right, because when I was researching it. Wait, yep. Let me continue. Well, it goes real slow and the hammer down. It's the country fried truck endorsed by a clown. Can you now roll?
Unexplained something is a matter for the law. What is it? Unexplained wrecks are a matter for the court.
Hold on. I have the second part. You ready?
Yeah.
12 yards long, two lanes wide, 65 tons of American pride. Canyonero.
Canyonero.
Top of the line in utility sports. Unexplained fires are a matter for the court.
There you go.
Canyonero. Canyonero. Wait, hold on. Let me keep going. Yep. She blinds everybody with her super high beam. She's a squirrel squashed deer smacking driving machine. Canyonero.
That's awesome.
All right. So that is Fictional Whips.
That was great. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Final score. Steph, 8. Tim, 5. Jeff, 1. Right? Okay. Close. Good. Yeah. So, guys, let's take a little trip, shall we? Take a trip in our little Radio Labyrinth time machine back to the year 1989. We've been in that year before, but this is August. So, we're talking about August of 1989. That was a very big year for all of us, wasn't it?
It was for me. It wasn't really for me, actually, at all.
Oh, yeah, you were 16 years old, so you were still in high school.
Yeah, I was 16.
We were 16, Steph. See, I always say we, because we're like the same age.
Well, I was getting ready to turn 16. I was 15. I was about to turn 16 in September.
In 89?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right. Well, I guess that makes sense. Then I was the same way.
Yeah. That was us. Yeah.
We were freshmen in high school. Is that what?
No, I was it was after sophomore year because I was freshman in 87 to 88, 88 to 89.
Okay.
Was a sophomore. And then this was 89 to 90. I was about to go into my junior year.
See, I was always young. I think I was a sophomore, actually. Well, anyway, go on.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, well.
I'm reading your little paragraph here. You mean.
I did write a little paragraph. No, yeah. We were just, I thought Jeff wanted us to say what we were doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, tell Jeff. Jeff, you say what you were doing first.
Oh, when I was recovering from my broken nose.
From the Dead Show?
Yeah. Tim and I went to our first Dead Show in July of 89.
Because you guys were like 27 then, right?
Sure.
Yeah, we were
was that technically like the Touch of Grey tour?
Yeah.
No, a couple years after. But
was it really?
Well, they never stopped touring. But yeah, 89. The song came out in what, 87? So 2 years. So yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I saw The Dead before Touch of Grey came out, and then I saw them after Touch of Grey came out, and you probably experienced the same thing. It was just a different experience because Touch of Grey was so big on MTV.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I didn't see The Dead until 89, so it was all.
Yeah, the touch heads are already there.
Yeah.
I see. The touch heads.
I will get by.
Cool video, though.
I like the video for Hell in a Bucket.
Don't walk around doing whippets. That's my only advice.
Mm-hmm. While you're tripping. But you weren't tripping, were you?
No.
I was by myself. That was a lot of fun.
That's the reason that I broke my nose is because you were tripping.
How come?
Because I took a hit of the balloon and I passed it to you, but you were tripping and you didn't want it. So I just took another hit. I didn't know.
It's your fault.
Boom. I just went, boom.
Oh, yeah. That's what people do.
But you said you were running out of the top three weed you've ever had. Explain that.
Yeah, well, before the show had started and before I broke my nose.
Oh, we picked up those hitchhikers.
No, I was just walking by this dude's car and I saw somebody like doing a transaction and I was like, what do you got? And he's like, what do you want? I go, I don't know. He goes, 50. And I go, all right. And I handed him $50 and he gave me this like a quarter of probably the top three weed I ever had.
Wow. You still remember?
So by August, I was probably all out. Oh, well, yeah, because I broke my nose and I literally smoked some of that weed. And then we stopped at a rest side bathroom and I like, smoked some of that weed and then I like mashed my nose back together.
Oh, that's right.
In the mirror of the bathroom of the rest area.
Yes.
Yeah. Damn.
Damn.
Yep.
Yeah, I watched a guy pass out in a room after doing a nitrous hit and his head went right into the TV. Boom.
Stay away from hippie crack.
That was old TVs though, you know, with the tubes.
Yeah, someone.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I ever did a whip it, and I was at this dude's house, and they were playing The Doors, and Break On Through was playing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's the first time I went like somewhere else. I was like by a creek bed, like reaching my hand out to a little girl for a second. And didn't know what the hell was happening. And then I just came back.
Little girl by the lake, steps so high, she's in the clouds.
And, you know, when I came to, it was like a whole room full of people just looking at me, and I got drool running out of my mouth, and the dude's like, damn, girl, you broke on through, didn't you? Yeah, I think I did break on through. Exactly.
Well, I'll pick up from Jeff since it's kind of related later, and then you can go, Steph. The end of the month of July, we went and saw The Dead July 4th, 1989, and we've told the stories. The end of the month, July 29th, I saw Metallica and the Cult at the Allentown Fairgrounds. I went with a guy named Billy Reese and another guy named Brian. So I forget Brian's last name. We called him Elk. So that was his name. But it was a really cool show, and the Cult were getting booed. It was crazy. And the Metallica.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they doing Firewoman?
They did all that shit.
Yeah, but the Metallica heads, though, they don't stand for any other bullshit. You could have the greatest band ever opening for Metallica. They're still going to boo them. You know?
This was the Injustice for All tour, so they were just commercial, just because of Wall, you know? Darkness, President.
Well, they did the Monsters of Rock show, I think, that summer, didn't they?
Might have been 80. That was 87, wasn't it?
It was 88, because it was right after Injustice for All came out, or right as it came out. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah, so that might have been the same summer, but it was just those two bands. And, I quit my job, no call, no show, so Jeff and I could go see The Dead. And after that, I came back. I didn't have a job. So I got a job working at this place called Main Street. It was a bar, and they hired me at 18 years old to be a bartender. And they had set me up. One of the managers there stole some baseball cards that were framed behind the counter. There was a guy who played third base for Mansfield University's baseball team that ended up going to the majors. He played for the Tigers for years, named Tom Brookins, and he ended up playing for the Yankees as well. So they stole those cards, and then they came in one night. I don't know where I was. They must have sent me to do something. It was so long ago, I don't remember the minute details, but they robbed the place. So after I left work, I went and was hanging out with some dudes, and I was like, oh, I'll take some acid. Bad idea. And so the whole night, the police are looking for me, and I'm just wandering around the town. I was hanging out with this guy called that we called GQ, and he was nuts, and he was trying to fuck with me. So I turned on that thing where I acted super crazy. I'm like, I'm just going to act crazy, and he'll freak out because he's never done this before, and I have. So I was able to control it, and then in the morning rolls around, the cops are looking for me, and I was like, I didn't do anything. And this was the days before everybody having a surveillance camera. So I was worried, but it turns out that she got caught and all for the better, because I didn't get in any trouble. But man, that
you think
was
OJ was involved in that thing in any way?
No, man, it wasn't.
He wasn't stealing memorabilia?
No. Oh. So I got fired from that, I got fired from that place. I ended up working at McDonald's again. So, and then by November, I was working at Pizza Hut. So four jobs in like 6 months. That was really cool.
Wow. Hey, at least you were working. You had a drive to work, which is good.
Yeah, and to eat free food.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you weren't just, you know, sitting around twiddling.
Well, I did that too.
You were working, making money.
That's right.
That's right.
So, Steph, did you want to talk about what you wrote?
No, it was, I think I was just in a, you know, like a...
What is this, like a poem you wrote or something?
It's not a poem. I was just saying, like, what I was doing then. I was, I was chubby, almost 16-year-old, trying to find a boyfriend. That was always like my never-ending quest, was to get a boyfriend instead of being the sidekick of the slutty cheerleader. And so that was pretty much my whole existence at that point, was trying to find a boyfriend. And I got drunk on a school trip in Washington, D.C. We hollowed out a boombox and hid a couple of bottles of Mad Dog 2020 in there, and we smuggled it on the trip. And I
good stuff.
I got drunk at the Marriott in D.C., and then, of course, somebody ratted us out, somebody who was not cool. And we didn't share anything with her, so, of course, she ratted us all out when we got back. Yeah, she did, and I got suspended from school, and I got kicked out of the Key Club. It was all very humiliating for my great-grandmother. She was so angry.
Damn.
Yeah, it was one of those things where...
Where would you be in life if you had managed to stay in the Key Club, Steph?
I don't know, because, you know, the history teacher, she's the one who ran the Key Club, and she was very much a by-the-books, no-nonsense type of lady. And she pulled me out in the hallway, and she told me that her disappointment level was just, it was off the charts. Like, she couldn't believe that I would do this to her, that I would shame her like this. And then her younger sister was our guidance counselor, and she called my granny, who I was living with at the time, and she told her what I did and how shameful it was. And then my granny, the church-going woman that she was, says, "How dare you? Your whole family is a bunch of car thieves. You think we don't all know that?"
Oh, jeez.
Damn.
What kind of stuff were you stealing?
I didn't steal anything. It was because I got Come drunk on this trip, and they just tried
tell
to
the truth.
They tried to make it into such a big deal. But anyway, but that was my whole thing. I'd kissed like two guys at this point. One turned out to be gay. You. One was extremely gay. He turned out to be extremely uber gay.
That
and
was
then,
probably the guy I kissed.
After you kissed him, though, right? That's when he turned gay.
He was gay before we kissed. I'm pretty sure he was gay since he was born. And everyone knew it. I should have known it. I mean, he wore bike shorts just all the time.
Oh, that's dead giveaway.
Does it? Does that mean anything? My gym teacher wore bike shorts.
I don't know. I feel like
gym teacher you hooked up with
all the time.
Yes.
But anyway, that was my 1989 August.
Ira, you got anything to add?
No, I mean, I was right in the middle of high school too, and I was, you know, we talk about the music stuff. I wasn't playing much music, but I was kind of straddling that line of hair metal guy, you know, hair metal scene and kind of hippie scene, because
yeah, hair metal was almost on its way out by then.
It was, but I don't know. In 89, though, still going pretty strong, and you know, we were into the deep stuff. I mean, I was in South Jersey. You could imagine what it was like, and I was listening to Skid Row and Slaughter and you know, Warrant and all that stuff. However, I was hanging out with a bunch of guys that were into the Dead and getting high a lot and everything. So I was going to see the Dead, and then I was going to see Def Leppard at the Spectrum in Philly, you know?
That would have been a good show, so doesn't matter.
So, I mean, I was going to school. I was cutting lawns after school and in the summer, and basically my whole world revolved around how I was going to get laid that night.
Were you going where the down boys go?
I was. I was going.
One of the places in the summer, if you had a car, Jeff had a car, we went and saw movies. The summer of 1989, August of 1989 specifically. I'm going to list these real quick. You say whether you've seen them. Lock Up, which is a movie I've never even heard of. So, did you guys see Lock Up?
No.
Stallone?
Stallone, Donald Sutherland, John Amos, Sonny Landham, Tom Sizemore.
I can picture the front of the box, but I don't think I ever saw it.
What, Jeff?
I've seen that.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it. Well, I probably have heard of it, but I don't remember it. Frank Leone is nearing the end of his prison term for a relatively minor crime. Just before he is paroled, however, Warden Drumgool takes charge. Drumgool was assigned to a whole prison. So, obviously, it's one of those, I gotta get out of this prison, I gotta get out. Coming up next, Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good movie.
That was a total freak fest.
It was. Yeah. I think I didn't see it for a few years later, though. And that, yeah, for the time, that was a weird movie.
Well, it was Soderbergh's first big film, and it was one of the, it was like the indie darling. That was when you first started hearing a lot, oh, the indie darling. And
yeah,
it really pushed that out into the forefront. Not a lot of sex in it, but there was a lot of love.
That was the whole thing with it. There was no possibility.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lies.
For a movie named that, I was expecting something different.
So you were like Nelson when he came out of Naked Lunch. I could think of two things wrong with that title.
I felt like Peter Gallagher's eyebrows should have had their own underwear.
Yeah, no shit, man. Peter Gallagher's eyebrows were in two films at the same time.
who is that guy?
Peter Gallagher?
No. The guy in Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Oh, James Spader. It was the first movie where he wasn't a douche.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. That was the first time I was like, oh, this guy can do like other stuff.
But he's still emotionally scarred.
Oh, yeah. He was a broken person. He's always playing broken people. And then Laura San Giancomo, Como, is that how you say her name?
Mm-hmm.
She played the younger sister of Andy McDowell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was fun.
Yeah.
Wasn't she?
She's funny. You know, we should talk sometime about that sitcom she was on with David Spade about the magazine. I love that show. And
Just Shoot Me.
Yeah, apparently they're showing it again. The Abyss came out. That's a movie Jeff and I saw in the theater together.
That movie effed with my head, too. I mean, you watch that, and that puts you in like a different mind frame, you know?
Yeah, James Cameron made that movie, and it was really good.
It was.
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. It was a really interesting film, and it was used that Terminator technology before the Terminator 2 came out. You know, the liquid stuff.
Yeah. Is that Ed Harris?
Yep, Ed Harris. Don't give up. Don't you quit. You never gave up on anything in your life.
Yeah, that's when I was like, God, who is this guy? I like this guy a lot. You know, I mean, I knew him from other stuff, but I was like, damn, he is good.
The astronaut movie, he was fantastic in that. The horror clunker of the summer, Come With Me, My Dream Child. A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child.
5?
Yeah.
Clunker?
Yeah.
I like that one.
Oh, no. No, I didn't like this one.
This had the Dream Warrior song.
No, that's 3.
Oh, that is 3. Yeah, that's 86.
Oh, right. Okay. Dream Child. That's the one that had the anorexic girl and he was force feeding her.
Yeah. Meet the Feebles. Has anyone seen that film? Meet the Feebles. Mm-mm.
I remember it, but I don't think I saw it.
Isn't it a Peter Jackson movie from August of 1989? Peter Jackson is in directed it and produced it. And Heidi, the star of Meet the Feebles Variety Hour, discovers her lover Bleck the Walrus is cheating on her. And with the world waiting for the show, the assorted co-stars must contend with drug addiction. It's a movie that I need to watch because it's Peter Jackson and I've never seen it. So. But you never saw it? No, but I'd like to.
I remember that was like a movie where all the indie film people were like, oh, you haven't seen Meet the Feebles?
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's Peter Jackson. Right. They go on to do Lord of the Rings. Okay, here's the big one out of that entire month. Uncle Buck, here's a quarter. Go down the back and rat another thing out of your face. Uncle Buck introduced us to Macaulay Culkin, right? Or was he
really
before that?
What, Home Alone was?
No. Oh,
Home Alone was after Uncle Buck, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the first time we saw him was Uncle Buck.
One of the first few times, I think so. I think that was one of the first movies he was in, or at least when he came into prominence, but it doesn't matter. The star of the movie, of course, is John Candy. He was lovable. He was funny. He learned a lesson, and he taught them a lesson.
There was some nudity in that film, right?
I don't recall. Okay, so Amy Madigan is in it, Macaulay Culkin, Gabby Hoffman. Most recently, you saw her in the trans show with Jeffrey Tambor. And I'm trying to see when Macaulay Culkin's first movie was, because I don't recall. I don't recall.
What's Kieran Culkin's first movie?
I don't know. The first thing, he was in a bunch of TV shows. Rocket Gibraltar, I guess, is a 1988 movie. The first big movie you see him in is Uncle Buck. Macaulay Culkin. So, yeah, there you go. Casualties of War came out in August of 1989. It's a Sean Penn, Michael J. Fox Vietnam movie that I refuse to watch.
What?
I never saw it. I mean, I had an ass full of Vietnam movies by then, and now they're like Sean Penn and Michael J. Fox in it, and I was tired of it.
It was terrible as Michael J. Fox as, I feel like we got enough in Light of Day
with his
dramatic chops.
Sure, David Spade got that Michael J. Fox impression, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Sarge, what are we doing here exactly? I can't do it.
Hey, Sarge, what are we doing here exactly?
Yeah. Yeah, only if Michael J. Fox would have been like, fucking piece of pussy. He would have just been doing that casually.
Ain't nothing better than the Indy 500, except maybe a piece of pussy. Yo, you see that guy's head come apart? Anyway, the next movie is Little Monsters with Fred Savage and Howie Mandel. I know Jeff's seen this.
I have.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's all right. It's funny.
I didn't see it. Why did I not see these films? I guess...
We were busy then. Like I said, we were just, going to see like concerts Howie and Mandel, trying to get late.
Yeah, Jeff's a huge Howie Mandel fan, especially back then. And then the last one, I don't know either. Shirley Valentine. I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know that.
So we'll just say, fuck Shirley Valentine.
Fuck that.
Moving on.
We were in high school. I had homework to do. I couldn't watch this shit.
The top booby songs. I'm going to just do a lame DJ voice. Top 10 songs of this week in 1989, August 1989. Starting off at number 10 is I'm That Type of Guy, LL Cool J. You know what? I'm that type of guy, too. Ladies love Cool Jim. That's my name, Jim. Jim the DJ. Ladies love me. Yeah, I'm that type of guy. Coming in at number 9, Dino, I Like It. Oh, I didn't know the Flintstones dog or not a dog or whatever had a hit song. But I don't remember how that song goes at all. Coming in at number 8 is Gloria Estefan with I Don't Want to Lose You. I don't
How's
remember.
That go?
I don't know. I don't remember. He's go. Here's one that you'll recall. This one was setting the whole place ablaze all summer long. It's One Spittin' Twice Shy by Great White. Setting the whole
place on fire. Good song.
Yeah, you couldn't escape it. It was so hot. What? Yeah, that's not so.
Steph likes this station. She used to listen to this all the time.
Yeah,
I did.
Who was hanging?
Call in.
Yes. Hey, Steph, how you doing? Hey, you and your friends want to come up? We'll be doing it late tonight. You got anything you want to hear? Are you old enough to drink a beer? Well, of course you are. Why don't you come on up? Bring some friends. You know, but
I'm only 15. Is that okay?
Did you say 17? I think I heard 17. Maybe 8. I don't know what I heard. Just come on down. You got a little weed up here. You can try my satin jacket. I might give you a t-shirt. You need some tickets. I got the New Kids on the Block are coming to the Forum. You can hang tough with me. Caller number 99 if you... if you're a teenager who wants to hang out with a 40-year-old DJ. Yeah, I'm good with phones. Hanging Tough was number 6. Mm-hmm. Here's one I have no fucking clue about. Karen White with a Secret Rendezvous. Coming in at number 5. You know that one, Ira?
No, but she did something else super popular, though.
She complained about people not wearing a mask at a store. Karen. She's white. Karen White. She complains about people not wearing masks. That's all she does.
How did she know way back then?
Karen White was ahead of her time. call number 6. You're on the air, Steph. Well, call it in, yeah. Do you need help with your homework? I'll be here at midnight. Oh, coming in at number 4, Don Henley, former lead singer of the Eagles, and then he got back with the Eagles. But The End of the Innocents is an anti-Ronald Reagan song. You can just hear him complain about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan's in the video. And there you go. I think it says more about him than it does us. So coming in at number 3, On Our Own by Bobby Brown. You remember Bobby Brown? He was married to Whitney Houston. He was also in a band that Jeff Leboff really liked a lot called, what were they called, Jeff? There's just a bunch of young guys in that band.
New Edition.
Yeah, the New Edition. Jeff was a huge New Edition fan. He loved Cool It Now.
Right.
Coming in at number 2, Cold Hearted Snake.
Oh, yeah.
Paula Abdul. I don't know if she sang anything, but she sure could move. You know, she taught Janet Jackson how to dance for the Rhythm Nation tour. And she was also a cheerleader for the LA Lakers. And hey, Steph, are you sure you and your friends don't want to come down here? It's almost 10:30. Stop by McDonald's. They close at 11 because it's 1989 and nothing stays open after 11 except for the gas.
Steph, just call his pager when you get down to the studio.
I wasn't a doctor. I'm a fucking DJ. Call my message service. And coming in at number 1, Richard Marx with my theme song for the night, right here waiting for teenage girls to come hang out with a cocaine DJ.
Oh, come on. You had to love that song.
And I did like Richard Marx, actually.
I've heard him on in interviews on podcasts recently, and he's always a great interviewer. He's just like a good guy.
Oh, you think so? I think he's a dick.
Richard Marx?
Yeah, well, he is on Twitter, that's for sure.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's.
I don't know. When I hear him in it, you know, his dad was a famous jingle writer.
Oh, really?
He talked about that. Yeah, he wrote like all these famous jingles, and then he used to help his dad write jingles for commercials, and that's how we got into everything. And I don't know.
I did not know.
One of the most full and defined mullets ever.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah. That song Hazard. Remember that? It was like on TV. We have that half hour video of Hazard. The guy from Police Academy.
Some dead girl laying on a black and white log in a creek or something.
I don't know. I just remember had the guy who was on MASH in Police Academy, the not the not Lasard, but the young, the instructor guy who hated Mahoney. I can't remember his name.
It was no should have known better. I'll tell
Tackleberry?
You that.
No, Tackleberry. Jeff?
It was Sarge something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was on MASH, too. He was the head of the motor pool on MASH. But I can't think of his name. All right, so let's, TV. We'll do some TV, then we'll wrap it up. But that was the year also, by the way, they slapped Oprah Winfrey's head on some super hot model, and they got in a lot of trouble. TV Guide did.
Did you look at not some super hot model. Ann Margaret.
Well, Ann Margaret was super hot, right? I didn't know.
That's what I'm saying. Did you open it up? Look at the picture. It's such a terrible job, too.
Yeah. Oh, the Oprah thing. Yeah. Oh, I know.
Holy fuck. I did not know that.
Yeah, I looked at that earlier. That's amazing. So what was the hype back then about this? They got caught?
Yeah.
Because what happened?
Photoshop either. That was 1989, so they were just using cut and paste.
Yeah. Why, though? But why this old picture of Ann Margaret that they put her head on is so crazy.
I bet you that was Oprah's thing. She's like, I want that Ann Margaret body.
Now, back then, it was very difficult back in 1989 to put an African-American woman on the cover of a magazine unless she was on a white body. That's how you had to have an African-American head and then a white body if it was a woman. And because the nation wasn't ready for that yet. It only been,
if you used an African-American body, it just wouldn't look right.
Well, it's 1989. People didn't know that there were anything else but white people. And, cell phone technology came along. Like, oh, my God, people of the color. How am I going to react to that? Well, we're going to superimpose your heads on Ann Margaret. Everybody got superimposed on Ann Margaret back then. It's just a thing that they did. They took Ann Margaret and they put her. It was great.
Dustin Lawler, please put Tim's face on Ann Margaret's body.
Please.
Yeah, only from Bye Bye Birdie. So I can make one. You know what I'm talking about. All right, so. This is Tom Basley from Happy Days. I played Mr. C. Howard.
Mr. C, how you doing?
I'm old, very old, longer living, but
Are you still with us, sir?
It shows in the summer of 1989. Had its Gary Shandling show, which was on Showtime, so it doesn't count. Totally hidden video. Excuse me.
Jeez, we're going to be here till midnight.
If you don't like it, you can go hang out with Fonzie in his apartment. That's where.
Hey.
Whoa.
See if you can find Chuck's bones.
That's and that short Jewish guy?
We hid Chuck's bones up there. We had a very weird satanic ritual before we let Fonzie move in there. We dismembered Chuck and Marion cooked his head in the oven and roasted the rest of him on a spit out back, and Joni ate him.
You know, I have to say, sir, Marion was quite a catch back in the day. She's a very attractive woman.
She was a fax. She still is.
How did you pull that off?
Well, I owned the hardware shop, the only hardware shop in Milwaukee, evidently. There's only one. And I owned it, and a lot of famous people were there, like Hank Aaron.
I'm just realizing now that you were the original Milwaukee muncher.
What?
Well, I was the Milwaukee rug muncher. And I also ate Chuck's fingers. Another show that was popular then was My Two Dads, which was a very degenerate show about some bastard girl and her two dads that couldn't figure out which one of them had banged her slut mother. Might have been Kate, might have been Ellie. What, Jeff?
That girl was so hot, though.
When
Stacey Keenan.
Yeah, I had the hots for her big time back then in 1989.
Who, the little kid?
No, she was like our age then.
Oh. Well, Kate and Allie was about done. No one was watching it anymore. All the kids had gone through puberty, and people were sick of looking at Jane Curtin. The Hogan Family was on.
I wasn't sick of looking at Jane Curtin.
I was.
Anyway.
The Hogan Family, which was a show that had Valerie Harper on it, and then had the lady with glass eye.
That wasn't Paul Hogan from Crocodile Dundee?
No.
Oh.
No, it wasn't him. Empty Nest, that's a show. I don't recall at all. Baby Boom. Alf. An outer space puppet.
But Alf had been on for a while, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alf is the reason Happy Days got canceled.
Didn't Alf come on Happy Days one time? Alf?
Every
whoa, take it easy. It,
I came on Happy Days every once in a while, especially when Chuck was on the spit.
You're getting a little frisky there, Howard.
Sticks. I like to watch him.
Mr. C, you still there?
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Okay. Hooper Man. Jake and the Fat Man was on TV. That was canon. Jake and the Fat Man. The Equalizer. A show about batteries. Mr. Bill.
Mr. Bell. Bunnies.
Right. Mr. Belvedere was still on TV. That's a show with the baseball player and the announcer there. He was always in the front row. And the worst show of all time, Father Dowling Mysteries, who had the girl from Square Pegs, whose dad was on the Nelsons. Ricky Nelson's daughter was on the Father Dowling Mysteries.
Weren't you on the father? Weren't you Father Dowling?
I don't acknowledge that. Show.
He had that erased from IMDb.
In my brain. Perfect Strangers was on. That was a show with
Balky
and the other guy that no one knows. Just the 10 of Us.
That's been done.
No. What Marion would say when it was her and the football team out back. Because the quarterback and the running back weren't allowed there. So it's just Saved by the Bell was on. That's the show I watched. Kids weren't home, and I had my pants.
That premiered this summer.
'99,
yeah.
I know. Oh. Amen was on, which was a spinoff of the Jeffersons, where George had to go to the witness protection program, and became a preacher. He wasn't allowed to see Wheezy anymore. Or either of his sons who had the same name. Lastly, and shut up after this, MacGyver. There. Okay.
Does anybody ever watch that new MacGyver that they filmed here?
No. I didn't watch the original.
Yeah, I didn't really watch the original either, but I like MacGruber, so I watched a couple.
MacGruber's fun.
I've watched a couple of MacGyvers here and there, but this new one I watched because the Impractical Jokers were on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. It's kind of fun,
a movie, right?
Yeah, it's a show. It's on CBS. And it's all filmed here in Atlanta.
But I didn't like MacGyver because it was like the A-Team with just one guy.
Right.
So I didn't like it. All right, we got to wrap up for a while. Yeah. What do we got to do here? We got to do our song list.
We're soundtracking songs.
All right. I'll do mine real quick. Soundtracking. All of these happen to be from the summer of 89 or 1989 in general. So mine are It Had to Be You, Harry Connick Jr. from the When Harry Met Sally soundtrack. In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel from the Say Anything soundtrack. And one of the early TV shows, this was a trend-setting thing, The Wonder Years. And they made a lot of money off of Boomers with a little help from my friends, Joe Cocker, which was the theme to the show and also, on the charts again.
I only had one from 1989 on my list, and that was the Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota from UHF.
Great movie.
Weird Al doing his Gordon Lightfoot tribute.
Yep.
My other ones were from 80s movies, but not 1989, so I picked Don't You Forget About Me from Breakfast Club, right. Simple Mind, and Beat Street Breakdown. That one's for Steph.
Oh, yeah.
Grandmaster Melly Mel from Beat Street.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but
that was the extent of my hip hop. That was like
just from that movie, and that's it.
But the original Beat Street was a lot earlier, though, right?
Yeah, this is Beat Street Breakdown.
Beat Street Breakdown? What, they do like a sequel or something?
I don't know, man.
I'm asking Jeff. No?
Yeah. Yes.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Steph?
Mine, of course, the iconic Fight the Power.
Oh, yeah.
Public Enemy from Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Great. Yeah, that was a great, great song. Get you jacked.
Great movie.
Great movie, but definitely a song that, you know, I listen to it and I just want to quit. Just quit everything. And go fight the power that be.
Buddy Elvis was a hero to most.
And Autumn in New York from When Harry Met Sally.
Right.
I like this version. It's the Vernon Duke version, which is like he's the original composer or whatever. But I like the Frank Sinatra version.
I do too.
It's, you know, so makes you think of what the fantasy of New York is that does not exist anymore. Pet Sematary.
I don't want to be buried
in the Pet Sematary. And, you know, Stephen King was a huge fan of the Ramones. So they came by to visit him. He told them about, you know, Joey Ramone was a big fan of the book. And Stephen King told him, no, we're doing a movie. So he went down in the basement at Stephen King's house, came back up and said, here's your song. Your song for the movie.
See, I never knew that.
And then I Don't Want to Be Buried in the Pet Sematary. But that's my three songs.
Meteor shit. Right.
Christ on his throne, no. Whoever would.
All right, do we have time to do our other stuff, or do you want to wrap?
Well, we should. You could do staff picks, maybe. How about just staff picks?
Just do it quick. Just do the
staff picks. Well, we all watched Perry Mason finale, right?
Yes, and next week, I swear to God, could we talk about it next week? And,
that's fine.
What? No?
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not finished yet, but I love it. It's great, and I'm a big fan of the actor.
Matthew Reese.
Is that why you started watching the American stuff, for that reason, or just?
Yes, because okay. Anytime Tim would ever go on and on about it, it's the same way that you are, Tim.
When other people do it, yeah.
You're just like, I'm not going to. And also because it was Felicity, that was the other part that just.
But she's so good.
She's awesome.
She's so good in this, and totally different. But yeah, it was seeing him as Perry Mason. I'm like, give this shit a try. And you know, this is one of those shows where me and my old man, he's like so into it. He's as into it as I am. So that takes it to the whole other, like, this is our thing.
He's obviously not a baseball card collector, or he would have noped out after episode one.
Well, I almost did. Five years is a big difference.
He never mentioned it. But if you never watched The Americans, if you're like me,
Noah Emmerich is great as well.
Give it a try. It's so good. Huh?
Isn't Noah Emmerich great?
I've heard nothing but good things, but it's just not for me. Yeah.
You're talking about the guy that plays the FBI agent?
Yeah.
Across the street. Hey, what's going on, man?
Reminds me of the White Shadow.
Yeah. Well, he was the doctor in season one of The Walking Dead.
That's right.
Yeah. He's been in a ton of stuff.
I like that guy, but he always seems like he's smiling, no matter what. Yeah, like, he always has a smirk on his face.
The Truman Show, the whole movie, he's got a big smile on his face.
Yeah, he's kind of creepy. Man. He's kind of creepy. He's a good actor. But this what I've been watching is The Americans, and then I hit the wall with Schitt's Creek. Mm. Like, I watched all of up to season 5, and then, you know, we had an Amazon credit, so the old man got me season 6 because you got to buy it to watch it. Or you can do a free YouTube sign up if you do and just cancel it, but you can watch it then. But I'm in season 6 now, and if you've never watched Schitt's Creek, I put it up there with Always Sunny, honestly, as far as funny. That shit is a fucking funny show. But my staff pick, it's a weird, creepy-ass movie that I found on Hulu last week called The Clove Hitch Killer.
Huh.
And it's a trip. It's a guy, Dylan McDermott. He plays the Boy Scout leader dad. And there was like a serial killer in their town 10 years earlier, and he stopped killing people. But every year they have this memorial for all the women that were murdered. And then this kid starts suspecting, I think my dad is the killer. And but it's done really well. It's called The Clove Hitch Killer. It's on Hulu.
Okay. Jeff?
My staff pick is called Skin, A History of Nudity in Movies. That's on pay-per-view. Comes out, I think, on the 19th.
Okay.
It's basically about the history of nudity in movies from like the early days of movies all the way through today and through the Me Too movement and everything.
Cool.
Was Mr. Skin behind
pay-per-view, but
Mr. Skin.
I think Mr. Skin's interviewed, and I think Mike McPadden, the guy that we had on about his book,
yeah,
going to be interviewed also.
Oh, cool. And what network is it on, or is it on demand?
Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view, all right. Ira?
I started listening to that Smartless podcast, by the way, Jeff. Didn't you recommend that?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They just had Kamala on.
Yeah, they had Kamala on this week.
Kamala.
It's a comma, not a semi-comma.
That's right.
My staff pick was this book that I'm listening to. It's called Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind.
Oh, cool.
Book came out. It's by this guy named Yuval Noah Harari. And it's just basically a huge book about the history of humankind going all the way back a billion years ago and just how we evolved. And, you know, it's like watching a documentary on that thing, but listening to it.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting how he kind of pieces everything together and the way it's done. But that's called Sapiens.
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 I don't have any staff picks this week or a staff pick this week. I've just been listening to a lot of podcasts. Gilbert's done a couple of really good ones.
Yeah. Mac
Davis was amazing. If you remember.
What is that?
You don't remember Mac Davis?
I don't.
Baby, don't get hooked on me. If you heard his voice and you saw what he looked like, you'd know who he was. Maybe you're too young, maybe because it's like 5 year difference, but whatever. He wrote a lot of songs. There's a lot of stories. He worked with Elvis. He told this great story about Elvis. Elvis wanted to be on Laughing. Did we talk about that? He wanted to be on Laughing, and he told Mac Davis, he said, "I want to be on Laughing. I want to, you know, ride around on a tricycle, pull my hood off, and go suck it to me, baby." But the Colonel, who was an asshole, wouldn't let him do anything like that. And then the Bob Saget one was good, and also Talking Sopranos, which is quickly becoming one of my. I can't miss it. Every week on Monday, I got to listen to it just because the way that those two get along. And actually, I do have a staff pick. I'm so sorry. Scarlet was a new mix of the song Scarlet by the Rolling Stones, produced by a new mix by the band The War on Drugs. Jimmy Page appears on this track. It's from Goat's Head Soup. They're re-releasing it special edition on September 4th. And that's my still.
Interesting.
But it's really, really cool.
Are you guys listening to the Bill and Bert podcast? You guys listen to that, right?
Every now and then.
The what podcast?
The Bill and Bert podcast. Bill Burr and Bert Kreischer, their podcast.
Oh, I haven't checked that out yet. Is it good?
It's so much fun. Is and it? It's really, yes, and it's very much like a touchstone of sanity for me to hear the two of them zooming with each other. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, see, the reason I never got into Bill's podcast, like his Monday morning thing.
You get all the rants. You don't get any of that.
It's not even Bert that. I don't like single person podcasts. I like an interaction.
Yeah.
You know? I don't like just one person talking into a mic.
And they have a great interaction, and they both have different personalities, and you know they both have fun breaking each other's balls, which is very. Yeah.
All right, I'm in with that then.
You know, Bert's out doing these shows. He's out doing these drive-in shows and stuff like that. Bill is like, that's some low rent bullshit. He's never gonna fucking do some crap like that. So I mean,
hey, thank you, everybody. Great show today, and I liked all the stuff that we talked about. I like doing that year, and if you ever want Tom Bosley to make an appearance at your house, I will gladly
eat your children.
And I've been doing doodles and stuff to try to, you know, put our own content out when we do the social media, the happy birthday or the on this day, and this is the one I did for tomorrow.
Oh,
see?
Sweet.
Oh, nice. That's
really
good, Tim.
Oh, you put YSP on there.
Well, the reason is because tomorrow, we're recording on Monday the 17th, but tomorrow is the anniversary of his debut in 1986, his first syndicated show. So that's going to be the one for tomorrow. And I bring it up because I'm going to start doing giveaways for radios, or not radios, for Patreon. So everybody on Patreon is eligible at a certain level and above. And like I said, it'll be updated, but check it out. And thank you guys for everything. Ira, what a great game. That was a lot of fun. I hope we do it again sometime.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah, that went well. Thanks.
Yep. All right. Until next week. Oh, Steph, do you want to plug the dog?
Just as always, BarkvilleDogRescue.org. If you can, donate, foster, adopt. We just got in a bunch of little scruffy mufflins today. If you like a little scribble scrabble, like a
sounds
little
delicious,
little munchy. you know, because I know we get a lot of the pitties, we get a lot of the big dogs, and a lot of these people, you like the little scruffy dunkles. We got a few of those right now, so check us out, ParkvilleDogRescue.org.
Sounds cute.
ParkvilleRescue.org. All right, guys, until next week, please remember to keep it canine. Keep it canine.
Radio Labyrinth is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Well, four of us, occasionally three, sometimes four, sometimes three, and is produced by you. For a complete list of Radio Labyrinth's awesome Patreon sponsors, just look at the show notes. Our intro theme was produced and performed by John Mark Lindell. Keep it canon.